Hallelujah. It's so wonderful to see people get excited and smile when it comes to giving money. God must live in these people's hearts. Hallelujah. Gewoonlik as ek kom by geld gee, is die mense maar suur hoor. Woo, hallelujah. Turn to somebody next to you and give them a fist pump. It's so. As jy dan give them a fist, moet hulle nie mekaar uitslaan nie. Just give them a fist pump. Just like, it's like, yeah. That's that gangster for, how's it? Ek sê, who's it? Hallelujah. And then, to those people you didn't give a fist pump to, give them a high five. High five, come on. That gentleman at the back needs a high five there. Hallelujah. High five. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. God is good. Waar's Leon? Leon, ek het hierdie music stand ook snaaks gekyk, hoor. Ek sien toe, tog ek, iets is nie lekker is van, word, tada, tada, hallelujah. I don't know about you folks, but I'm happy. Ek is happy. Happy are the people who's got, don't you smoke it song? Oh, okay, and maybe you at the place in your life this morning where you want to sing, nobody knows the trouble I see. But he does. Maybe after the service you'll be happy. Yeah, that'd be okay. So there's this kid in the back of its parents' car. They're going on a country drive through the country on their way to a holiday destination. And the child, the parent, one of the parents asks the little boy, "What's that?" The boy says, "That is a cow." He says, "Oh, very, very good. How do you know it's a cow?" "No, because it goes moo." Good. They're traveling a little bit further, and they say, "What is that?" The boy says, "That's a kudu." He said, "Why? How do you know it's a kudu?" "Because when it runs, its hooves go kudoof, 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 because it's a big animal." "So very, very good. So, what is that?" "So that's a zebra." "Well, how do you know it's a zebra?" "Well, because it's got stripes, it's got pajamas, God's given it pajamas." "So very, very good." And they're traveling along, getting close to their destination. And the parent asks the child, "So what is that?" The child looks and says, "Oh, that's a Christian." "He's a Christian? What kind of a Christian?" "He says, no, that's a Christian horse." "He says, how do you know it's a Christian horse?" "Well, because it's got a long face." Isn't it weird that the people are supposed to be walking around with the joy of the Lord, have over 8,000 promises about God wanting to bless us out of our socks, and it's all just goodness, 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 sometimes walk around with this long face. Turn to your neighbor and check if you, she's got a long face. Sommige van ons, ek dink, as het lyk, asof ons gaan bly wees, asof ons gaan glimlag, nee, then our face is going to crack. Because we walk around with this long face. And yet we've got a book, a love letter from a father that's filled with promises on how to live the blessed life. But we walk around with these long faces. I submit to you that something's wrong with that picture, church. If you're visiting the first time this morning, we've been busy with a series called How to Live the Blessed Life. If you've been unfortunate enough to miss out on it, I apologize, but you can catch up. The good news is that you can catch up and get the sermon series on how to live the blessed life from the sound guys at the back. You can get it off our website, or you bring a flash drive to church. They'll download it for you to catch up on how to live the blessed life. Jesus basically teaches us how to be happy. And we're going to do this week after week to recap. Come with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 to 11. Verse 1 to 11. We said in weeks gone past that I don't know of anybody that doesn't want to be happy except Steve. Steve has since changed his mind. He's now decided he also wants to be happy. Hallelujah. By the way, Steve, we're mindful of Barbara's challenges. We're standing in the gap and praying for you fervently. See, my brother, you stand strong and you just be the shining light and example in your family that you have been since you started walking with Jesus. I want to commend you on that, sir. Matthew chapter 5, we're going to read from verse 3, in fact, from verse 1 to 11, just as a background. Now, seeing the multitudes, he went up on a high mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him.
And then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Blessed, 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 blessed." And we said it's safe to say that you can replace that word blessed with the word happy. Happy are the people who are like this. Happy are the people who are like this. And Jesus here is not describing many individuals. He's describing one person. He's describing a certain person that is poor in spirit, that mourns, that's meek, etc., etc., etc. So to recap, 2 weeks ago before the Biker Blessing Service, we ended up looking at verse 4. It says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." They shall be comforted. And we didn't get to finish. But just to recap, I want to finish, I want to top up that message from 2 weeks ago and pick up where we left off. We got to the point where we discussed mourning for the things that breaks God's heart. What breaks God's heart? When we see tragedies and human suffering, does it break our heart, or is ons onverskillig en sê, "Ag wel, dis hulle probleem, niks met my uit te baai nie"? Or do we let our hearts be broken with the things that breaks God's heart? Because unless we mourn like Jesus teaches, we're not going to be happy. It's like a contradiction of words. You've got to mourn like this to be blessed. You've got to mourn like this to be able to experience what God promises you. You shall be comforted. What breaks God's heart? And we started touching on the topic of, if you mourn like this, you get to the point in your life where you allow God to open your eyes and your heart to see sin for what it really is. You see, we just quickly touched on, do we stay away from sin as Christians because we're scared of the consequences? You weet, jy bly weg van daai vuur, want jy weet, as jy jou hande insteek, gaan jy brand. But actually inside, wil jy baie graag binne in daai vuur wees. You see, we shared this at home cell on Thursday night. Why as Christians do we need to walk around with like spiritual straitjackets? How many of you know what a straitjacket is? A straitjacket is, hulle sit daai jas, daai ding op jou vir mense wat, jy's ken so, jy's mal. They put your arms in it and they strap it at the back and they put a mask on your face that you can't bite yourself or bite people and you walk like this. So many Christians have spiritual straitjackets on. That means they're walking through life, through this world, surrounded by all kinds of sin, which we call lekker. Is die sonde nie, dis lekker. And in the meantime, you say, "Okay, I can't do this and I can't do that because I'm going to get bust, or I'm going to get caught out, or Moses is going to find out, or other Christians are going to see me." Meantime, deep inside, jy wens, jy was nie in die straitjacket nie, dat jy net kan deelneem in die sonde wat lekker is. Don't live like that. Don't live like that. Don't worry about the rules and the regulations. Let God change your heart and say, "Lord, deepen in, ek besef, actually, ek begeer nog steeds die ding. Lord Jesus, help me." Instead of om rond te loop, you know what happens? Then you're that Christian that has that long face. Because deep down inside, jy begeer nog steeds die goeders. But you can't and you don't and you won't because of whatever. And God wants us to get to the place where we learn to hate sin. Spreuke 8 and verse 13, Proverbs 8 and verse 13 says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil." It's to hate evil. Get to the point in your life where you're not so concerned about being bust and uitgevang in die sonde, but you let the Spirit of God change your heart to the point where you love God and you love Jesus so much that you don't want to do it anymore. It's not about whether you get bust, whether you get found out, whether you get caught, what people think, what the church will say, what your leaders will say. It's not about what they say. It's about you saying, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, you've done this awesome thing for me. I want to respond to that by loving you back. I love you to the point, I don't want to sin anymore, Lord. Please help me. Lord, you know that in my heart I still, and my flesh wants to do that, but God, help me, Lord, help me not to do that. Then you will experience the comfort that Jesus speaks about here. When we learn to hate sin and not just be afraid of its consequences. Do you get that, church? Does it mean something to you this morning? What a difference, isn't it? Why do you want to live inside where you want all those things that you know are going to lead to your demise, but you don't touch it because of whatever? Allow the Holy Spirit to teach your heart, to change your mind, to grow to the place where you hate sin. Did you learn something this morning? Okay, now we can pack up and go home because we're done. That's just finishing off what we didn't finish off last week. Are you okay with that, church? Hallelujah. Are you ready for this morning's message? This is the next verse. Matthew 5 and verse 5. That was just verse 4. Matthew 5 and verse 5. And I didn't even touch on what it means to be comforted. But are you comforted when you get your own way? Or are you comforted when God's will is done? Think about it. I know this guy. He's extremely selfish. The three most important people in his life are me, myself, and I. He's most happiest when he gets his own way. He's not happy unless it's his way, all the time. And that oak is me. It's me. And I'm comforted when things go my way. I'm comforted when it happens the way I want it to be. If it doesn't go exactly the way I want it to go, then I'm a horse-faced Christian. You see, we need to allow God to work in our hearts to the point where we're comforted, we feel gemoedsrus en gemak, and we feel good when God's will is done. Even if it means we're uncomfortable with it. Hello? Because God being God is more concerned about your spiritual well-being than about your physical comfort. I'm going to say that again. God is more concerned about your spiritual well-being than about your physical comfort. Sometimes He'll allow circumstances and things and people to move and work around you in such a way that it will get you ongemakkelijk in die posisie, in die plek waar jy is in jou lewe, to the point where you go down on your knees and say, okay Lord, ek is nou moeg geploeg, laat U wil geskied word in my lewe. And then He's got you where He wants you, in a place where He can work with you in your life. Can you say amen? So, blessed are those who mourn, and I'm paraphrasing Jesus' message this morning, say, blessed are those whose hearts are broken by the things that break my Father's heart, because then I will comfort you. And here's the converse of these messages. That's why they're so challenging. Unless you do this, you won't be happy. The opposite is true. Unless you allow God to work like this, you know, Jesus is saying, you won't be happy. The ones who are comforted, the ones who are happy, are the ones who allow God to work in their life like that. If not, jy gaan nie happy wees nie, papa. You're going to be a horse-faced Christian. You're not going to be happy. So the choice is yours. If you want to be happy, yay. If you don't want to be happy, Amen. How many of you know we need strength today? I need strength just to make it through one day. Nehemiah 8 and verse 10 says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. I need joy. I don't need muscles. I wish I had some. But I don't need muscles to survive. I need joy to survive, man. I need joy to make a success of my marriage. I need joy to make church life a blessing. I need joy to face the lies and the rubbish and all the bad stuff happening in the world and still have a smile on your face. I need joy, people. I need joy. And I can see some of you are so excited you also need joy. You just need to let your face know about it too. Come on, man. That's what we need. We need joy. We need that stuff, man. And I'm not talking about joy from, woo, that's lekker, or the karate water, or whatever it is. Maybe it's sex, maybe it's whatever, maybe it's buying stuff. You're not going to have lasting joy from that stuff. You need joy from deep within here, man, where God reminds you that you're a son and a daughter of the Most High God. And His plans and promises for you are good. And ongeag van hoe jy voel, He's still in control. Hallelujah. That kind of joy. Whoa. Lord, what am I going to do with these sheep? Lord Jesus, help me. Okay, verse 5 for this week. Nou is ek reg en opgewarm vir vanoggend se boodskap. Is julle nog met my? Hallelujah. I need some
some windpomp sherry. Man. Whew. Okay, verse 5 of Matthew 5 says, now you can start watching your clocks. Hoe laat het ek begin renier? Half. So I've got 20 minutes left. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. What does it mean to be meek? I promise you, I used to think this. Blessed are the weak, for they shall inherit the earth. I thought, no. Till I got to know Jesus. Till I got to know that He's not a baby in a manger anymore and a broken man in a cross. He's God Almighty and King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the great I Am, and He's coming again. He ain't weak. He ain't weak. People think, oh, you're a weak little, I don't know. You're a weak somebody if you're a Christian. Really? Really? Just try carry your cross on a daily basis and be like Jesus. Then come and talk to me about what strength and weakness and meekness is. Toe, ek durf jou. It says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So what does it mean to be meek? Let's look at that. If you do a word study, it means to be gentle. And in the context of this verse, it means to be humble. Wow. Now there already in my mind, that's a botsing. How can you inherit the earth? Surely to inherit the earth, you've got to have military might and strength, and you've got to be a skilled warfare tactician to be able to come in, kick butt, take no names. Isn't it? Come on. That's what's portrayed in the movies. The hero's got to be this, and it's just like, come on, man. You don't see in the movies this guy that's all gentle and like, no. It's these burly heroes, and that's the message. And I'm cool with heroes. But the message is that in order to get stuff and to dominate and to conquer, you've got to be like, and Jesus comes along. Can you imagine how He rattled the cages of the people? He says, if you want to be, basically saying, if you want to rule the whole world, you've got to be gentle. Can you imagine if you're a warfare, an army general, and this oak called King JC says to you that you've got to be gentle, you skim. But clearly you know nothing about warfare. Clearly you know nothing about fighting the army that wants to take you out. And Jesus is like, oh yes I do. I'm the Lord of the angel armies. Oh, Rabashetaka. Woo! Ah, He introduces Himself to Joshua and He stands there with a sword in His hand. I said, I'm the God of the angel armies. He only had a sword because they didn't have AKs or ARs or none. I can imagine Jesus standing there. Wie van julle wat die Weermag is, jy het an LMG. Having just an LMG in the one hand. And then he says, I'm a God of the angel armies. Hallelujah. He says, you want to conquer this planet. You have to be meek. You have to be humble. Humble. How do you be humble? What does it mean to be humble? Surely you've got to be great and mighty. He says, no. But the kingdom of God is sometimes known as the upside down kingdom. You want to be great? You've got to be abased. You want plenty, you got to give. You want to die, you want to live, you got to die first. And you want to be exalted, you must first humble yourself. Jesus is saying this. If you want to own and run this planet, you have to be humble. You have to be humble. That's what He's teaching. The greatest warrior, the meanest bad ass. That's not a swear word. It's not a swear word. Okay? So if you're feeling religious this morning, it's not a swear word. A bad ass, as in a donkey. You're a bad donkey. If you want to be that kind of oak, the meanest, most lethal, ruthless killer that has ever walked this planet was a man called King David. There is no assassin. How many of you watch Assassin's Creed or these movies about Hitman? Hitman 1, 2, and 3. Those oaks are like a little halvolte. You don't want to meet one of those cats in the alley. But David makes those guys look like little poofters. As respectfully as I can say it. King David made those look like that. Because, why? Because God taught David's fingers how to kill people. Did you know that? God anointed David's hands
to kill people. David could take out a platoon of people with his pinky. Why? Because God anointed him to do that. So you want mighty, you want great. Look at King David. And David says this, Psalms 18 and verse 34 and 35. David sang this song when God enabled him to kick butt. All the enemies were against David coming to slug him. Saul was after him. Everybody wanted to take this oak out because he's a snot-nosed little shepherd boy that does nothing from nothing. And they were jealous because God chose him. And they didn't smock that nothing. So the enemies are coming to take David out. And God enables David to... Man, hy het met hulle gespeel, man. Hy het met hulle gespeel. And in the English you say, he wiped the floor with them. I mean, he ripped off their arms and hit them with a wet end. Tore open their chest and shoved their heads down their chest. That's what David could do. And God taught him how to do that. And David says this in Psalms 18 and verse 35. Your gentleness, O Lord, has made me great. Do you get the picture, church? Your gentleness has made me great. David is saying this, Lord, your humility has made me great. Nee, ek is die groot bra. Ek is die main peanut van die packet. Ek is die national praise van die breker squad. Moenie met my smokkel nie, because ek is. No. He realized that without a gracious God that can love and forgive when you repent, a God who forgives when you arranged to have your friend murdered so that you can sleep with his wife, a God who will forgive you when you do that, that got him to his knees and said, Lord, your gentleness has made me great. You want to rule and run this planet? You need to humble yourself like that. How many of us are prepared to do that? No, no. I've got to be the greatest and the latest. I've got to get all the recognition, any room, and all the notice, all the attention. And I love it. I'm a biker. I love it. Eh? But you can so clearly see. And if this is you, I love you. See, when you know your lippe oppomp to 20 bar and your vip because you fall into this category, because I also do it. You see this at the biking things we go to and things like, you can see when people are hurting, when they're lonely, when they need reassurance of who they are, when they need comfort to be reminded just how valuable and precious they are to God. They do certain things on their motorbikes to get attention. It's very quiet in this church now. They do certain things to get attention, just so that for a few seconds, while the smoke is going and the engines are and he means to kick and oh yeah, oh yee, and then the smoke settles and it's right, where were we? Why? Because we feel good when people look at us, isn't it? Come on, let's be real. How many of you feel bad when people praise you? How many of you feel terrible when they commend you on something you're doing well? Because we're just people, isn't it, Suni? But God says, you want this kind of authority where you can rule the planet? Humble yourself. Just be humble. Just be humble. I love watching guys do that. He's by a plek and it's lekker rustig, dan kom hulle daar aan. Okay, never mind. I encourage you, come with us to a day jewel or come with us to a rally and you'll understand why Jesus loves people and why I'm a biker and why I love bikers. Hallelujah. It's like smak hulle stikkend. Stikke meer en oor 1000. He says, you need to be humble. This kind of godly humility, here's the kicker. This kind of godly humility, I started off past, will cause you to want to serve other people. You see, the greatness of a man is not measured by how many people serve him, but how many people he served in his lifetime. The greatness of a man is not measured by how many people serve him, but how many people he has served in his lifetime. That is a great man or a great woman. This kind of humility will cause you to want to serve other people. Jy sal nie net daar so sit en wag en kyk. Jy kyk net vir mense. Jy kyk en dan, hey, jy, tel daai op. Hey jy, gaan haal dit. Hey jy. No, you'll get up off your blessed assurance and you'll go serve other people. Ongeag van jou titel of jou rang of hoe ryk jy is, wat jy ry, waar jy bly, wie's aan jou sy, you'll get up and you'll serve. the godly kind of greatness. The worldly kind of greatness is, right, am I doing it right? Hey, bra. Haf my nog 'n dop, ek sê. Ek mos die prees. National prees. But Jesus says, no. That kind of graciousness will cause you to want to serve other people. He came and he humbled himself to the point of taking on flesh that rots and dies and is subject to disease. He took that on to become like us, to be subjected to our abuse, to be spat on by us, to be crucified by us, to be mocked by us, to be stripped naked by us, to have his beard ripped out by us, to be slapped and beaten, the scripture says that they couldn't recognize that it's him, by us. When in a moment he could just think of taking us out, what does he turn around and say? Forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do. That's humility. That's greatness. Therefore, God says in Ephesians chapter 2, you can read it, Philippians chapter 2, God has exalted him to the highest place and given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and one day confess as Lord, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10. That kind of humility. You want to learn how to be humble? I need to learn how to be humble. Ask Colette. She'll tell you, I'm proud, arrogant, stuck up, self-righteous, so-and-so. How do you learn humility? By looking at Jesus. Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12, the second verse says, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising its shame, sat down at the right hand of God. Look at Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him. What does that mean? You know what that word joy means? You know who it's describing? Look around you. Look around you, church. That's not God saying, okay, Jesus, because you've done this, I'm going to now, when you're with us in heaven again, you het nou toegelaat dat jy gekruisig is en so aan, ek gaan vir jou bietjie joy, ek gaan jou besprinkel met 'n bietjie joy. Daarso, kry vir jou joy, dat jy bietjie lag. No. That's not the joy. It says, who for the joy set before him. Here's the picture. Are you getting this, church? God and Jesus, he knows everything in the Spirit. They see his church. They see his church redeemed, justified, liberated, sanctified, empowered, made whole, restored, made new again. They see the church. They see you. If you're seated here and you're born again by the Spirit of God, heaven saw you. Jesus saw you on the other side of your faith, on the other side of your confession, on the other side of you saying yes to Jesus. He saw you one day taken out of the hands of the devil, been brought into a place where you're in the hands of God. He saw you filled with the Spirit, walking in the ways of God. He saw you, and because of that, he said, yes, I'll go to the cross. Are you getting it, church? That's what he saw. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross. He saw, hy het gesien wat die eindresultaat sou wees as gevolg van sy gehoorsaamheid. Die gehoorsaamheid wat gelei het tot sy dood. He saw that. He saw, I'm going to do this because I'm doing this. They can one day be restored to their rightful place they had with me in the Garden of Eden as a man walks with his friend. That's humility. You want to learn humility to inherit the earth? Learn this kind of humility. That's the kind of humility that Jesus had. Humility, this kind of humility, teaches you to want to serve. So many Christians quote that scripture. We get this militant attitude, and it's lekker. I like it. It's good to encourage each other and to stir each other up. And you bet, we're marching. Yeah, come on, I don't know. How do you march? Like, I don't know. Or wherever you march, I don't know. You like march and you march and say, every place on which the sole of our foot shall tread, God has given to me. Ah! The beteken, oralste waar ek gaan, waar ek beweeg, it's mine. God has given it to me. Yes, he has. But there's a catch. There's a catch to that. It's Joshua chapter 1. Now, Pastor Moses is dead. He's gone on and he's graduated to glory. And God has buried him. Nobody knows where he's buried because they'd worship him. So God said, no, I'm not going to let you know where this oak is buried. I'm going to bury him in secret. So God buries Pastor Moses, and it's now young Joshua to take over as the leader. And God promises him, all those promises that I gave to Moses, for you, Joshua, it's going to happen to you and your generation. It's going to happen to you. That's the backdrop over here. Joshua 1 and verse 3 says, every place that the sole of your foot will tread, I've given you, as I said to Moses. Every place on which the what of your foot shall tread? The what of your foot? The sole of your foot. Now, they had shoes in those days. Probably wasn't Nikes or Reeboks or Adidas or Cats or Salomons. But they had shoes. Let's go hard. Sandals. Jerusalem Cadillacs. Put the sandals on. Tie the leather straps. Come on, man. Laugh with me. Jerusalem Cadillacs. Okay, never mind. Come see me afterwards. I'll draw a picture for you. So they had sandals. And they walked around through the desert and whatever. But then who die soul van hulle voete in aanraking kom met die grond? You know whose souls touch the ground? The most humble of lowly servants and peasants, because they couldn't afford shoes. The most humble people couldn't afford shoes. So here's the picture. In geval my woorde te ingewikkeld is vir jou, hier's die prentjie wat nou gaan kom. Die nederigstes wat bereid was om ander te dien, wat niks gehad nie behalwe 'n gewillige hart om hulle medemens te dien, die is vir hulle gegee, the place on which the sole of their feet have trodden. So God is saying, the most humble that are willing to serve others and not expect to be served, because you are a whoever, those are the ones. Every place on which the sole of their foot shall tread, I've given to them. That's territory. So for those that are willing and able to serve like that, and have allowed God, look at Jesus in humility, to serve, those are the ones that will be given territory, that will be given possessions, that will be given property. Not that we're after property, but the context, you can take it as spiritual as you want, or you can take it as literal as you want. And I'm going to say this, true, authentic spiritual authority that's given by God comes through humility and serving. I don't care how gifted you are, how anointed you are, unless you have the humility of Jesus, you can't be used by God. So if you're at a place in your life where you think, you see, wanneer gaan wie ook al my gebruik? Het hulle nie gesien hoe oulik is ek nie? Ek is hier. I've arrived. Look at my gifting, my talents and my anointing. But if you're not willing to serve, sorry sir, ma'am, can't yet use you. We can't yet use you. Two of the biggest tests that a leader will ever face, and if you want to learn about leadership, come to our pre-rally training. We're going to teach on leadership before the rally even starts. So if you're aspiring to be a leader, that's great and it's wonderful. Two of the biggest tests that a leader will ever face is number one, humility, number two, waiting. If you can't pass those tests, you're not fit for leadership. So many people want to lead, but they're not yet willing to submit. You cannot be given authority unless you learn how to submit to authority. It's very quiet now. God won't give you authority unless you yourself can learn to submit to authority. Even God understands the principle of submission. You say, no, he's God Almighty. He submits to nothing and no one. You're right. But it says, he has honored his word above his name. He's honored his word above his name. The name that is above every name. The name at which every knee shall bow. Yes, he's submitted to his word. Even God understands the concept of submission. So you want leadership. Okay, let's see how you submit to authority. Yeah, but I've got all these... great, can you serve? Can you submit? Let's check that out, Bicky, in your life first. Are you blessed this morning, church? I hope so. Just need to... All right. I'm going to close off. I'm starting to land this thing. I'm on half an hour. I'm doing good, eh? It's only half an hour. Hallelujah. Okay. So this kind of humility will cause you to serve. Please don't ever pray this prayer. Lord, humble me. Don't ask God to humble you. Please don't do that. Okay? The scriptural principle is that you humble yourself. You humble yourself. Let God not humble you. Rather, you humble yourself. Jacobus 4 in 18 verse, James 4 verse 10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Moenie so hardnekkig wees dat God jou moet verneder. Is verneder the right Afrikaans word? Is it the same as humble? Okay, verneder is like, sort of like embarrassed, say. Verstaan jy wat ek sê? Sê humble, nee. Nederig. Hm? Ja, moenie laat God jou nederig maak nie. Ah, sê. Not too bad for a Engels mannetjie. Rather humble yourself than let God jou verneder. Moenie laat hy jou verneder nie. Rather humble yourself. That's why he says, humble yourself. What's he doing? He loves you and he cares for you. So he's giving a chance. Abut, gaan jy dan eerder op jou eie, op jou knie? Voordat ek moet toelaat, laat die vijand die snot uit jou uitklap, dat jy op jou achterend val en omrol op jou knie. Moenie wacht tot dan. Hallo. Hallo. People, what I'm preaching, I've practiced. Listen carefully, church. What I'm preaching, I have practiced. God had to let the devil clap his snot at me out so that I would humble myself. I had to be completely broken before I let God fix me. And still today, there's that old mozzie that wants to stick his skinny little neck out. Ek's nog hier. I've got to humble myself before God. I've got to humble myself before God. 1 Peter 5:5, beautiful. This inter-submission in the body. It says this, likewise you younger people. It speaks about what the shepherds do. Don't read the preceding verses, because that describes what I'm supposed to do. So that if you look at my life, and you see I'm not doing that, dan gaan soekie vir 'n ander kerk. Don't do that. Please pray for me. I mean that. Please pray for me, okay? I need it. But from verse 5, in 1 Peter 5 and verse 5, 1 Petrus 5, hoofstuk vers 5 says, likewise you younger people, all of those who are younger people, raise your hands. Why aren't you all raising your hands? George, there's people that are older than you, sir. Raise your hands. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. I mean, you get God, Moses, Methuselah, and Daniela. That's by means of an Otis is what Yella is. Everybody raise their hands, man. Come on. Younger people, submit to your elders. Yeah, but he's a this and she's a that, okay? But they're still your elders. Submit to your elders. Yes, all of you. And I love this. Be submissive to one another. So because I'm the pastor of the church, niemand het inspraak in my lewe. Really? If that's my attitude, then I'm not fit for this calling. If I'm so holier than thou, that I don't allow people to speak into my life, I'm not fit for this calling. I'm not yet ready for leadership because I'm too proud and stuck up and full of myself. A humble man will learn from a child. I said a humble man will learn from a child. And receive, let people speak into your life, even if it's your spouse. Even if it's your spouse. Sometimes he or she is right from God. Die manne lag en die vrouens lag. Sometimes he or she is right from God. Sometimes, just maybe on the 30th of February, just maybe, he or she has a message from God for you, sir, for you, ma'am. Receive it. Receive it. Be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to humble. God resists the proud. Listen, church, you don't want to go up against God, see? You don't want God to be resisting you. Hy gaan die dingetjies uit jou frustreer. He's going to frustrate the bejesus right out of you because you don't want to humble yourself. Now, this kind of humility, and when the Holy Spirit reminded me of this, I'm like, yes, Lord! I'm going to tell this to Colette. Then I realized, yeah, but Mozzie, you got to practice it first, son. Jy wil vinger vir jou vrou wys. Look how many fingers are pointing back at you, you chop. There's one finger pointing at you. There's three facing back at me. Ah, yeah, chop. Being humble Like this, it says, blessed are the meek, blessed are the humble. And I'm done preaching. The deep end, come up, please. Blessed are the humble, for they shall inherit the earth. This means being humble in an argument, even when you're right. This floored me. Because when I'm right, I let it known. And once you know, I look for the highest place to let the world know that I am right. I want the whole world to know that I am right. Dan wil ek dit invryf. I am right. You see, I am the head of the home. You see, I told you so. You're wrong, I'm right. Na, 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 na. I know none of you are like that. But when I'm right, I want the whole world to know that I am right and you are wrong. This kind of humility is clothed with, oh, hallelujah, let it fall. Let it, you're humble even when you know you're right. You see, what is your attitude towards other people? Especially to people that is jou minderes, they're your subordinates, they report to you, and you are right and they're wrong. If you can't show humility there, we need Jesus to fix us, church. We need Jesus to fix us. Showing humility means showing humility even when you're right and you know others are dead wrong. Showing humility there when you are right and others are wrong. So, how many of you are at a place this morning where you can do with some godly humility in your life? I didn't ask you to raise your hands, but that's humility. That there is humility. It's, Lord, I need you. I need you, Jesus. But the good news is that's why he died, to teach us humility. God is not the finger-pointing God that accuses. If you're feeling guilty and condemned this morning, it's the devil. Say, devil, get behind me in Jesus' name. But if you feel a conviction, and do a word study if you're not sure about the conviction, see what it means. See, it means for your heart to be convinced. All right. Some people have said to me, the Holy Spirit doesn't convict me, it only convicts the world. Okay, God bless you. Just study the Bible and you'll see. If you're feeling the conviction of the Holy Spirit this morning, that you want to just live this kind of humility, because the converse is, this is about being happy, right? So Jesus is saying, if you want to be happy, you must be meek. If you want to be happy, you must be humble. If you want to be happy, let the humility teach you to serve. So if you want to be happy, this is what you need to do, church. So for those of you that have raised your hands and said, Lord, teach me to be humble, Lord. Maybe you've never gotten to a place in your life where you've been humble enough to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord of your life. You're also in the right place this morning. Maybe you know Jesus is the Savior of the world and He died for you, but you haven't made Him Lord. What does it mean? What is the difference between Savior and Lord? I'm going to tell you quickly. Savior means He's died for you. He's paid the price. His blood has been shed. His forgiveness and His grace, His mercy is all there ready and waiting, even though you haven't repented. It's there waiting for you. He's your Savior. But being Lord of your life means you don't do anything, you don't say anything, unless you know that it meets God's approval. Your decisions, your actions, what you do with your time, what you do with the finances He's given you, what you do with your body, wat jy maak met jou vriendekring, waar jy gaan, waar jy jou bevind. That means Jesus is Lord of your life when you know, Lord, I'd like to do this, but I want you to give me the go-ahead. Is this okay with you? Then He's Lord of your life. He's either Lord of all or He's not Lord at all. He's just some religious figure to you. If you're at a place in your life this morning, maybe you've done so, maybe you've never done so, maybe there's a time when Jesus is Lord of your life and now you're in control again and you want to fix that. You just want to, jy wil herklem toe in die Here se heerskappy in jou sake. Jy wil herklem toe in die Here se heerskappy in jou lewe, die hartsake, jou verlede, jou toekoms, jou hede, alles. Jy wil sy heerskappy sien, waar wees, waar word in jou lewe. If that's you this morning, raise your hand. Anybody like that, yeah? Come on. One, two, three, several people. Hallelujah. Let's all stand together this morning. Let's all stand together. Okay. I'm going to pray two prayers. First of all, for all of us who raised our hands, say, Lord, teach us this kind of humility. And you don't have to do this. It's not a religious thing. But I like to do it because when I get my body to cooperate with my mind, it just helps my heart to be softer before God. Okay? So me, I'm going to go on my knees when I pray this. You don't have to. If you want to, you can. But I'm going to go on my knees so that my body cooperates with my mind and God can work with my heart. I want to pray for us that have asked God to just help us as far as the humility thing is concerned. Some of you have never, ever, ever bowed your knee before God because you think, ach, nee, wat is nie nodig nie, or whatever, and you don't. At the end of the day, God sees the condition of your heart. I want to pray for us this morning. Say, Father God, in Jesus' name, we your people, your sons and your daughters, we present our lives to you today. Here, U ken ons deur en deur. U ken ons beter as wat ons onsself ken. Dit wat U in ons harte sien, ongeag wat daarso is, bly U nog steeds lief vir ons met 'n onvoorwaardelike liefde. Daarom kom ek na U toe vanoggend. En ek besef en ek bely, Jesus, ek het U nodig. Ek het genade nodig. Hemelse Vader, in die naam van Jesus Christus, in die werking van die Heilige Gees, leer my opnuut wat het beteken om goddelike nederigheid te betoon in my lewe. Help me, Lord, to be humble in such a way that you would work through me, that the world can see that I'm not the devil's plaything, I'm nobody's doormat, I'm nothing apart from you. Work in each person's heart and in each person's life, Lord. We humble ourselves before you because we acknowledge and we say, God, we need to change. We want to inherit the earth. We want to take back what the devil has stolen from us, Lord. There's so much goodness that still belongs to us. But we've gone about it the wrong way. So we humble ourselves this morning, Lord. Teach us. Forgive us. Lord, as each man and woman prays, Lord, ek sal jou aanmoedig om in jouself, vra die Here om jou te vergewe. Vir die hoogmoed in jou lewe, in whatever area dit is in jou lewe, jy weet waar jy is, ek weet nie. Jy weet presies waar jy is. Vra die Here om jou te vergewe. Hy is 'n liefdevolle hemelse Vader en hy wil jou vergewe. Hy wil jou restoreer. Hy wil jou help in hierdie wandel van jou. And so we just confess and say, Lord, we're sorry. We've blown it, forgive us. Help us to walk in humility before you. Take us from strength to strength and from glory to glory. In Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, Amen. Hallelujah. You can stay seated or kneeling or stand or whatever. The next prayer that I want to pray, please. Those of you that put your hand up because you want to make Jesus Lord of your life. Maybe you've done it before. Maybe you've never done it before. I want you to put your hands up, please. Put your hands up. You know who you were. Right. Those folks, please come forward. Don't be shy. Don't be cared about who says what or who thinks what. What's important here is God's opinion about you. If you've raised up your hand and you want to make Jesus Lord of your life like that, come forward. Anybody, come forward. Come forward, come forward. I need men with men, ladies with ladies, please. Counselors, make yourselves available. Please come. Come, especially if you're filled with the Spirit. Come, 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 come. I need men behind these men. Where are our Christian workers? Lord Jesus, we need to pray to the God of the harvest to send laborers into the harvest. If you're here for prayer, you must be standing on the front row. Make space. Make space. Move the council to the side. I need men with men, please. Ladies with ladies. If you're here for prayer, Make sure that you're in the front row. Okay. I say Charles. Okay, Paul. In die brokenheid, my broer, laat die Here deur jou vloei. I need one more guy here. I'll say. Okay, I need a lady on the end here, please. Okay. There we go. Hallelujah. Okay, for the folks that have come forward, I just want to pray with you just briefly all together as we stand here before the Lord this morning. Heilige Gees, ek bid die salwing op elke persoon af vanoggend, Here. Deur hierdie boodskap kan net 'n ding wees van kopkennis en iets wat ons op 'n emosionele vlak aangeraak het. Maar as u Heilige Gees nie werk in hulle harte nie, is dit te vergeefs. Spirit of God, would you move in the heart of every person here this morning that has come forward to make you Lord of their life. Lord, you see the intent and the purpose of their heart. Would you graciously, Holy Spirit, empower them and enable them to do just that. Enable them to stick to their commitment. What does it mean to make Jesus Lord of my life? Enable them to follow you one decision at a time, one day at a time, one difficulty at a time, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I will graag hê, the guys that have come forward, please look at me. The people behind you, they're not rocket scientists. They people in the hands of God, just like you and me. Hulle het nie antwoorde vir jou nie. Hulle gaan saam met jou bid. Laat die Here vir jou antwoorde gee. Hulle het nie 'n oplossing of 'n solution of 'n pilletjie of stap 1, 2, 3, dan gaan alles reg wees. Al wat ons vra, laat jy toelaat, laat net toe, laat die mense wat agter jou staan, saam met jou bid. Hulle gaan net saam met jou bid. Hulle gaan maak dat jy bely met jou mond dat Jesus Christ is Lord of my life, dan gaan hulle vir jou bid, dat die Here jou help in hierdie wandel. Daar's van julle wat ek nie ken nie. As jy nie 'n geestelike tuiste het nie, is jy meer as welkom om betrokke te raak in hierdie gemeente. Ons gaan nie jou naam en nommer vat om nuwe lidmate te kweek nie. Ons soek jou nie hierso nie, mits die Here wil hê jy moet hierso wees. Maar ons stel belang in jou geestelike welstand. We love you, en as jy dit toelaat, wil ons sê jy moet ons geleentheid gun om geestelik gewys vir julle te sorg en vir julle om te gee. Dis waaroor dit gaan. Ons wil net vir julle bid en vir julle bemoedig en julle help op hierdie pad vorentoe, waar jy Jesus, jy bely met jou mond en glo in jou hart, Jesus is Heer van jou lewe. Let's give the Lord a praise offering for these people this morning in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.